go to the because we won't try to get the whole chapter in tonight, but there's a few verses in this first part of chapter 2 that I think are even helpful as we look at the second half of Ruth 2. So we'll read it all. Maybe even you, as I was reading and as I was thinking, my mind kept going back to some of these earlier verses. And even as we're talking tonight, maybe your mind will go back to some of these verses. And you'll go, oh, okay. And it'll just help us in our understanding. But we'll begin in verse 1. It says, "Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And they said to him, 'May the Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' The servant in charge of the reapers replied, 'She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw.' Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' Boaz replied to her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge.' Then she said, 'I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants.' At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposefully pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.' So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, 'Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz.' Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead.' Again, Naomi said to her, 'This man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives.' Then Ruth the Moabitess said, 'Furthermore, he said to me, "You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest." Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Just ask the Lord to bless the time that we spend together in his word. Our God, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, this narrative of kindness, Lord, and goodness, Lord, the ideas of faithfulness. And Lord, as these people sought to follow you, we can see their faith. And Lord, what was most important to them because of the faith that they had. And Lord, as we think about that, we realize, yes, that says something about who they were. It says something about their character. But even more so, as they put their trust in you to meet their needs, to provide for them. Lord, in even the case to redeem them, that it says even more about the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. And so, God, as you reveal these things and make them known, Lord, as we learn from the people and we're challenged, even in thinking how we live, might we see the greatness and the goodness of a kind and loving God. And, Lord, might that work in our hearts to produce a great faithfulness and fruitful labor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we will begin here in verse 14, as we see a display of generosity. A display of generosity, and it continues just looking at Boaz. As Boaz said, hey, come in here, come to my field. I'm gonna make sure that you are cared for. And we'll see that as she asks, and we see the favor and the kindness that Boaz gives. But as we see Boaz's generosity continued, where it says, at mealtime, Boaz said here, come here that you may eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. Ruth is given a place of comfort. And Ruth is given a place of comfort. I don't know how many of you ever spent time working in a field and those different things. And I don't know exactly what all of the culture would have been like here in this time. But, I mean, I've had some moments I've tried to, eat while I'm driving a tractor. Sometimes you just sit down in the dirt on the edge of the field and, you can't even wash your hands and all of those different things. And probably just even for these gatherers, they could follow people around. They could gather from the grain that was left behind. And as Ruth finished her morning effort, her morning work, they were taking a break to eat. Rather than sending her off to the corner of the field with everybody else who had gathered to glean, Torgi says, you come here and you sit with my servants. As I have prepared for them and given them food, I said, you can eat my bread. You can dip it into the vinegar. Some people would say that's the wine. And just providing for her and meeting those needs, giving her rather than whatever she could pull together to eat, or maybe it didn't have anything to eat, and she's just going to sit there and wait. Probably his servants had somewhere a little more comfortable to sit. Not air conditioning, but maybe not out in an open field. Maybe under some sort of cover to protect her from the heat of the sun. A meal that even, it talks about roasted grain. I've had soybeans, and I've had roasted soybeans. I said, regular soybeans, roasted soybeans. Some of you go to Port Farms. Before Port Farms is now the Port Farms, we knew it as a place you take your soybeans, they roast them, and you bring them home and feed them to your cows. So it was a working thing, and I could eat those by the handful, rubbing them together, get all the shells off, and go to town. But that roasted grain, adding to that a wonderful flavor that she would have enjoyed, having them roasted and toasted and prepared for her. Even looking at it, he says, she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain. And it says, she ate, and she was satisfied and had some left. For Ruth, again, they didn't have much. They were poor. There may not have been very many days that Ruth didn't go to bed with maybe a little bit of an ache in her stomach because she wasn't full. Still a little bit hungry. Comfortable, but here she's filled. Even to the point that all that Boaz brought to her, she had extra that she could put in her pocket in order to bring home. And so again, we see this display of generosity, this kindness that Boaz showed as she's given a place of comfort. Verses 15 to 17, we see Ruth is given abundant provision. Abundant provision. Where it says, when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, between a half and three quarters of a bushel. Well, she's given abundant provision. You know, there were rules and laws in, I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 24, 19 to 22. They say, hey, if there's poor people that are there, well, you go out through the field and you reap and you get things. And if something falls down, you don't get it the first time. You know, if you don't quite get everything, there's still some standing. They were given the command that I want you to leave that there. Sometimes even we're going to leave some around the edges in the corner of the field. They would do that on purpose because it was to provide for the needs of those who were poor among them. A common practice. We're going to leave some. We're going to get everything we can, but we're going to make sure there's something still there for those that are in need. For Ruth, as we look at Boaz, he didn't say, you know, even just best of luck to go out there and find whatever you can. But he said, look, she can come right up to the sheaves if she wants to. She can walk right alongside of the reapers. And he instructed his servants, don't chase her away. Let her come alongside of you. And he even said, well, we'll take some from the sheaves, and I want you to lay it on the ground. Make it easy for her to collect the things that she needs to collect so that she will be provided for. And I don't know exactly how far half a bushel or three quarters of a bushel of barley goes. I think some said maybe it would feed them for a week at least. And she could go back day after day after day. But he gave her abundant provision. It's not just what you can find, but it's what I will leave for you, Boaz provides for her. So it's abundantly, half to three quarters of a bushel is not what everybody would be able to find out there in the field. But we also see, I think it's a good thing to look at as we look at this display of generosity. For you grammar people, this is a different use of the word given. But Ruth is given to persistent effort. Ruth is given to persistent effort. So that's one of the verses that I would go back to even in verse 2 where Ruth says, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. You know, Ruth was not one to sit around and say, okay, Naomi, we came back. What's your plan? You know, how are we going to eat? Your God will be my God. What's he going to do for us? But we see Ruth who says, hey, I know how we can get some grain. I'll go out and work. I'll go out and I'll gather up the heads of grain in the hot sun and the dry day, and perhaps then the Lord will find favor on us and someone else will give us favor that we might be provided for. And she would have gone back day after day after day, whatever their needs were. And so she worked and she was willing to gather. And we see that even in this provision. I don't know how much she needed for a day or two, But as she left and was given this place of comfort, she had roasted grain that she could bring home. We realize in verse 15, she rose to glean. She finished this meal that Boaz provided for her, and she went right back out to the field. She didn't know Boaz was going to grant her all of this favor, but she was headed back out there to work again. And it says she gleaned in the field until evening. When she bit out what she gleaned, it was about an ephah. She could have said, you know what, I think I've got just about enough. Oh, and it's only 3 o'clock. I can go home early. And we've got everything that we need. But she keeps working from till evening. The diligence that she puts forth. She didn't take advantage of the generosity that was given to her. The generosity that came from Boaz. She continued to diligently labor to gather up all that she could. Not taking advantage of his generosity, but taking every opportunity that his generosity provided for her. Along the same line, even for her with the Lord, thankful. Look what the Lord has done for me. He hasn't provided for me so that I don't need to do anything. He's provided for me so that my labors reap way more than what I ever could have imagined that they would benefit me. She realized how blessed she was, and she took advantage of every opportunity that blessing provided for her. And we also see in verse 18, down there towards the end, where she said she also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. And that refers back to verse 14. All the comfort, that good food, that better food than what she maybe would be able to even get at home. Well, she saved a little bit from it and said, man, this is going to make a great lunch tomorrow. She says, I'm going to give it to Naomi. I'm going to share this generosity that has been given to me to provide for Naomi. She showed her love and her compassion and her kindness to Naomi in sharing those things. So we see that display of generosity, you know, from Boaz to give above even what was required of him by the Jewish law and by God to say, this is how you're going to take care of the poor. He says, well, I'm going to go above that, and I'm going to provide for Ruth, and I'm going to provide for Naomi. We see Ruth working hard that she might be able to be generous and helpful to Naomi, and even bringing home that grain that was roasted and prepared that Naomi might be able to enjoy the meal from the hand of Boaz as well. And all of those things, a display of generosity, but it's the generosity of the Lord, as you know, those verses that say, she happened upon the field. Perhaps we shall find some favor from someone. Well, at God's hand, those things happened. Brought them to the right place, to the right person. Had worked in that person's heart to provide for them in a very good way. So as we see that, we move on. To verses, we're going to skip a few verses here. We're going to go to verses 21 and 23, where we see Boaz's commitment to continued kindness. His commitment to continued kindness. Where we see this is not a passing offer in verse 21. This isn't something to say, hey, do your best today, and I wish you the best for tomorrow. No, Boaz says to her, and Ruth repeats this to Naomi, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Boaz said, don't you go to any other fields. So you come back here, and I think it would be understood, and I will show you the same kindness tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. You know, Boaz gave a promise to her, that you can come here as long as you wish, and you will be provided for. You will be cared for. This isn't just a moment of generosity or pity that he had on her, but it was a commitment to continuing to show compassion to her and to Naomi as they look at these things. It is not something that just kind of runs its course. He's committed to helping them out, and we see that part of this offer is the fact that Ruth, in that, is given protection. Part of his kindness is not just meeting the physical need that she had to say, you're going to have food to eat, you're going to have grain and all those sorts of things. But Naomi recognizes in verse 22, he says, hey, don't go to another field. Go with his maid so that others do not fall upon you in another field. In his instruction to her earlier in the chapter, he says, I've instructed my servants not to touch you. Basically, she was safe. Wherever she went in that field, she was protected by Boaz, protected by the servants. If there was anybody that would give her a hard time, she was going to be taken care of. And again, that comes from the hand of Boaz. And as he does that, well, that's God protecting Ruth from whatever harm may come her way. You know, he talks about her. He says, boy, why have I found such favor in your sight since I am a foreigner? You know, and even because she's a foreigner, we realize there may be people out there in the world that would take advantage of the opportunity because she's a foreigner. You're not one of us. Well, we don't care about you. So if someone does something to you, I'm not really concerned about that. All of these things may have been very real dangers that Ruth would have faced. But God provides Boaz so that none of that will happen to her. And even as she knows that and thinks about that, how much better her days would have been in the field, knowing she doesn't need to look over her shoulder while she's doing her labor and while she's doing her work, because she has someone who's caring for her, watching out for her, and meeting her needs. So as a result, Ruth very, very wisely stays in Boaz's presence. She stays among those maids we see in verse 23. She stayed close to the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law, where she looked at it and she recognized that this is a blessing that God has given to me. You know, we talked about, you know, in the first point there, where she sees all the things that God has done, the generosity that God has given to her through the hand of Boaz, and she takes advantage of the opportunity that's been given to her and doesn't squander that. She has great thankfulness for those things, and she continues in those things. That's even why the title, you know, according, you know, stick to the plan. Well, Ruth sees that as she keeps going back to the field. She's smart enough to realize God has done a very, very good thing here. I've got an invitation from Boaz. I've got the encouragement that comes from Naomi. Well, what am I going to do tomorrow? I'm going to go back to that field. God will continue to provide for me. God has great and wonderful plans for me and for Naomi. And as I walk in those things and we continue in those things, we are confident that God will be faithful and continue to meet our needs. And so we see her, the generosity that is given. We also see the kindness that is shown. And now if we look at even Naomi and her thoughts and her response in verses 19 and 20, those verses that we skipped over, she has a confidence in what God has ordained. Naomi looks at these things, and she might be looking at them a little different than even Ruth is. Ruth looks at those things and says, boy, isn't it nice that we've got plenty of food that is provided for us? Isn't it good that as I go to the field and I do that work, you know, it's a safe place. I am protected in all of these things. And Ruth certainly would join Naomi in saying, Boaz is a good man. Boaz is a man that takes care of us and is doing those things well. But Naomi, in her understanding of what it is that God has said and what it is that God has promised and what it is that God has ordained, even for the entire nation of Israel, she sees God's hand in work in an even greater way. So as we see in verse 19, we'll start and say, she gives praise for God's provision. We see that where she asks the questions, where did you glean today and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So Ruth told her, well, the man I worked with today is Boaz. And then in verse 20, it's may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. She looks at Boaz and understands and sees what his character is, and she thanks God for what it is that he has done in Boaz's heart to show this kind of compassion. She asks the Lord to bless Boaz. You can see those verses even talking about Boaz, the way Boaz talks to his servants and the way his servants respond to him. He's a man of great honor and integrity who's appreciated by all those who are around him. I don't think you would say this is token. I don't know who all you have ever worked with, but when he comes in and says, may the Lord be with you, they didn't say whatever. You know, that's just something. He says, no, may the Lord bless you. Because of the kindness and care that he's shown to even his servants, they said, boy, may the Lord bless you for your kindness, for your generosity, because of all the things that you do. And Naomi asked the same thing, giving praise to God. Lord, bless this man, for he has been good. He's one who loves you. He's one that follows your word and does the things and cares for the poor. He cares for the widows. He cares for the orphans. And because of these things, we are thankful and we desire for him to be blessed. And they give praise to Boaz. I think in continuation also praise to the Lord. Thanks be to God for Boaz. As we continue, even in this, and kind of that whole theme of a redeemer, I don't know when and exactly what all the wheels are that are spinning around in Naomi's head. We'll get there as we get to chapter 3 and beyond. But we see her, and she says, God's plan gives hope. God's plan gives hope. I mean, Naomi, when she realizes this, whose field did you go to? I went to Boaz's. Naomi says to her, this man's our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. And Naomi, understanding, maybe knowing what God's word teaches, would be familiar with the concept of a kinsman redeemer. In Leviticus 25, when we won't read all of that, it talks about, you know, redeeming a kinsman, a close relative. It talks about poor countrymen and how you meet the needs of your countrymen. But in verse 47, now if the means of a stranger or sojourner with you becomes sufficient, and a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to him as to sell himself to a stranger who is sojourning with you, or to the descendants of a stranger's family, then he shall have redemption right after he's been sold. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or one of his blood relatives from his family may redeem him, or if he prospers, he may redeem himself. And you can read all of Leviticus 25, if you want, thinking about that, I have a kinsman redeemer, but to say, hey, those who are poor, those who are destitute, those who are in trouble, there may be a kinsman, a relative, a family member who would help to meet those needs. That family member may redeem them and pay their debts, purchasing them. And we can read the rest of Ruth, and we'll get there. but to realize what it is, and whether in Naomi's mind, she said, this man that showed such generosity to us and cared for us in our time of need, he fed us today. And he has promised that we can come back and he will feed us then, maybe for months. But he says, in God's plan, he didn't provide for us just for the month. This man is a close family relative. This plan might be God's way of working things out, that all of our prayers have been answered. This is a man who could redeem us and provide for our needs. So we see in Naomi's mind, they see all of these things and how God meets their physical needs. How it is that he's protecting them through Boaz. But now she can look at this and say, you know what? We might be set if Boaz would come through in the way that we would need him to as a redeemer. That's a possibility. That's what the Lord might be doing for us. I think she sees that and really maybe starts to begin to see the hope in that. That this just isn't a temporary blessing of the Lord, but it's the way the Lord is going to provide for them and take care of them. I don't know. It doesn't tell us what her plan was beforehand, but this plan maybe is unfolding right before their eyes. She thinks, God, many, many years ago, set in place that a kinsman redeemer might come along and care for those in their family who are poor, those who are destitute, those who have debts and needs. God worked in Boaz's heart. Boy, this is a man who, understanding those things, because of the generosity and kindness and compassion, the goodness and integrity that he had, that says, I'm going to follow the Lord and do what he says. Well, if he follows through on these things and sees his own family members in need, this may be the Lord's provision for them in a very, very long-term type of a thing. Now, she didn't miss out. I can't say that for sure. But if she understood what God's truth was, and she believed that Boaz was going to be obedient to it, I think her heart would have been filled with hope. Now we look at this, and we don't want to allegorize. These are real people, and we see these things. You know, just the reality of what it is that God has done, and we realize that a sovereign God who works in all things to accomplish his purpose and his will. We can think of verses about his plan. I thought about asking, I said, what verses do we know that tell us about God's plan, tells us about God's ways, plans to prosper, all things working together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. His ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts greater than our thoughts. I think we see these things here demonstrated, and people maybe even realizing that in the way they respond to God. And for us to ask the question, even as we might see how they are looking at their situation, well, we can look at ours and ask the questions, do we see the blessings in God's plans for us, you know, in our life? God's constantly working. God is constantly providing. It's good for us to be able to look back and think about the blessings. When we're coming up to Thanksgiving, and a lot of people might use them, what are the things we're most thankful for this year? Boy, I see God's blessings over and over and over and over again. We see even those plans, the greatest plan that he has for us, all who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, is to make us his own, to bring us to his family, to call us, you know, his people. And then the next question is, do you reflect on the hope that his plans bring? Say, boy, I see all the things that God has done. I know what all of God's promises are. We ought not be walking around in despair, thinking, oh, what's going to happen? Say, nope. These are joy-giving, hope-giving plans. Which kind of brings us to our next question. Do we walk in the confidence that His plans are good? Boy, whatever God has for me, this is what I want. And for them, Ruth did not know what was going to happen that day when she went out. She just went out there and said, perhaps we will find favor. I just hope that God blesses me today with someone who was kind enough to let me walk around in the field and gather a little bit of grain so Naomi and I have got something to eat. Well, as that day went on, and more, boy, God has blessed me far above anything that I could have ever asked or thought. And Naomi looks at this and says, boy, this gives me hope, not just hope for today. It gives me bright hope for tomorrow. And we have those same things as we think about God's blessings and His kindness to us, and we ought to be very careful not to let days go by where we don't reflect upon the blessings of God and thank Him for the hope that He is working because He's working in our lives. And it's the confidence that we have that God is truly, truly good. And anxiety and fear are gone because I hope and I trust in Him. So if we look at Ruth and Naomi, we'll look more at the whole, like I said, read Leviticus 25, and think, well, kinsman redeemer. Well, we can certainly see all of God's promises in Christ as we look at these things as well. But we'll close in prayer and we'll sing one song, whatever my God ordains is right, and we'll be dismissed. Dear God, we thank You for today, and Lord, we thank You for Your hand which leads, Your hand which guides. Lord, we look at Ruth and Boaz and Lord, people who seek to be faithful, people that seek to do Your will, whatever that may be. And Lord, we'll see later on in Ruth just how it is that You used them, even to bring about through their line the birth of our Savior. And Lord, might we, as we consider and look at these things, know that Your ways are good. Lord, that we might see the goodness and the blessings of Your sovereign hand in our life day by day. And Lord, as we think about those things, might that just give us a wonderful, wonderful hope for tomorrow, that we might continue to seek after You, to walk by faith in the hope of Your promise and Your plans for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you would stand, please, we'll close just by singing Whatever God Ordains is Right.